So once again, we have the opportunity to consider the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in what is called the parable of the sower. And if you recall, if you were with us last Lord's Day or the last time that we considered this passage, we were saying that when we come to verse 18, verse 18 is basically the primary thesis of this whole passage, that the Lord Jesus Christ is making an application. He is helping his disciples to understand what exactly he has been saying to them up to this moment. And he is basically telling them that what is important for you is to be able to take heed how you hear. And then he makes that wonderful, wonderful promise. Whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. So if you recall, this is what we were saying last week, and I want to make the emphasis this morning. It is important to hear the word of God. It is important to listen. It is important to pay attention. One of the proverbs in Zambia says the life of a child is in the ear. And I think that that's extremely important as far as God's word is concerned, that if you want life, if you want to escape from the enemy of our souls, if you want to escape from hell, then you have to hear God's word. Now, this is in fact what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying when he begins to interpret the parable of the sower. It says, now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the waysides are the one who hear. And then he says in verse 13, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear. And then in verse 14, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard. And then finally, in verse 15, but the ones that fell on the good grounds are those who, having heard. And if you recall, this is what we said, that we should be praying. Every day we should be praying for good preaching. And equally important, we should be praying for good listening, for good hearing, that as far as hearing the word of God is concerned, hearing is intensely important for you and for me if we are to receive life, if we are to grow in our Christian lives, if we are to be fruitful in our lives as Christians. We must hear God's word. So really, that's the application of the parable of the soils. It's a parable of four kinds of soils, but at the same time, it's a parable of four kinds of hearers who are hearing God's word. But also, we said, if we understand it in that light, in the light of that application, then there are four ways in which we hear God's word. And this is where we went back to verse 16. And in verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ makes that wonderful statement, or gives that wonderful illustration about light, or about the lamp. No one, he says, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may hear, rather, may see the light. That it is the nature of light to shine and to expel the darkness. That even if it is just a small, minute light, if there is darkness all over, that light will make its presence felt. You might be very far, as long as it is dark and there's no light pollution from this anywhere else, if there's a light in the distance, you will be able to perceive it, you'll be able to see it, because it is the nature of light to shine. And what the Lord Jesus Christ in those words is telling us, that when we hear the word of God and we love the word of God, we believe the word of God, we receive the word of God, that we will be shining. We'll be, as he says elsewhere in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. Speaking of those who believe in the Lord Jesus, those who are his disciples, who have embraced his message, that they are the light of the world, the salt of the earth, because once you believe in the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus has transformed your life, this is going to be the all-consuming desire of your life, is to make the Savior known wherever you have the opportunity. Because it is the nature of the gospel. It is the nature of the light of God's word to shine in your life, to shine in your family, to shine in your society. That if you embrace the message of Christ, this is what you will want to do with it, to make it known, to publish it. Like we were singing a few moments ago, that wonderful song of Charles Wesley. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. But this is what we want the world around us to see. Once we have heard, that we hear evangelistically, in that sense, that we want to make the message known. That the one of the reasons, as stated in our statement of faith, in our constitution, the reason why we exist as a body of believers here at Providence Reformed Baptist Church, is to lift a banner for Christ. It is to let Casa Grande, Arizona, and the world around us to know that we are disciples of the Lord Jesus, that we have repented of our sin, that we have embraced the Lord Jesus as the only hope for forgiveness, for salvation, and to be right with God. And that whoever will listen to us, we are willing to tell that message. That we have heard, and we have heard in that sense, evangelistically. But then secondly, if you recall, we were speaking of it in verse 17. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks about nothing in secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. But as we consider those words, the supposition in those words is that naturally, as human beings, we tend to be two-faced. First of all, there is that public persona that people know us. And then there is that other persona that we carefully conceal from people, and they do not know us that well. And in those words, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us that those who hear his message, those who listen to him, are those who hear with authenticity. That they are those people who are willing to be searched by the word of God. And once it convicts them, once it exposes the sin to them, that they are willing to own their sin and to confess their sin and to obtain pardon for their sin. That they will not be phony, that they will not be hypocritical. And if you recall, in the last time we did tend to Luke chapter 12, which is almost a repetition of those same words. Luke chapter 12, and if you see, look at verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear, in the inner rooms, will be proclaimed on the house tops. But the word of God has this very important characteristic. It is the only thing in the universe that is able to expose the hidden secret of a depraved human heart. That when you hear the word of God and the Spirit is at work applying that word, that is what actually happens. The word will expose you and cause you to see the real you. And so turn to God, turn to the Lord Jesus for cleansing, for pardon, that he might completely turn you around and make you his child. But that also means that if you hear the word of God and for whatever reason you refuse to respond in an authentic manner, know nonetheless that a day will come when you will be exposed for who you truly are, for what you truly have been doing. Maybe you have carefully concealed your life from fellow human beings like all of us here. So we are all fooled and thinking you are this when you are completely something else. Yes, you can fool all of us. We are just mere human beings. But a day will come when God is going to expose you to the entire of creation. There will be nothing hidden because you did not know the day of your visitation. You did not know the day of grace when God in grace came to you and the Holy Spirit convicted you and he spoke to you and says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart like the fathers did in the wilderness when they tried me and they saw my works. And I was displeased with that generation, and they all died in unbelief. And therefore, as the second way in which we hear, we are authentic hearers. It is that we will be the genuine article. We want to be true before God, before men. Like what the Apostle Paul says, that he says, make it my ambition to live with a clear conscience before God and before men. I don't want to be something else when I'm at church, and completely something different when I'm at home. That once the word of God has come and had found room in your heart and in your life, it will transform you and make you the kind of person that God wants you to be. So there's a warning for us that as we live in this day, as we live in an age in which God is dispensing his saving grace, But here is one way in which he will dispense his grace, is that once we hear the word of God, it will bring conviction. Like it says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's dividing the thoughts and the intentions of the heart so that everything will be exposed. I am sure you may have heard many people testify how they were converted, that when they went and they heard somebody preaching, in fact, only this past week I was listening to a number of people who were giving their testimonies. And that was their testimony, that somebody invited them to church, and as the preacher was speaking and was preaching, suddenly they began to feel like the friend who had invited them had secretly gone to the pastor and told him about them. You know, because he just felt, this man is talking about me. He's the kind of things I'm thinking about, the kind of thoughts that I entertain. This is what he's talking about. And yet, that is just God in his wonderful, amazing grace. He's reaching down to sinners like us, calling us that we might turn our backs on our sin and confess our sin and embrace his grace as it is offered to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So that is the second way in which, as God's people, we should listen to his word. We should listen with authenticity, that the word of God will set us right. The word of God will expose whatever is hidden there. That we should not be a people who want to resist that exposure. That we should, in fact, embrace that exposure and turn to the Lord and plead with him for mercy, for pardon, for cleansing, that he will make us the kind of people that we should be. But then thirdly, when we get to verse 18, there is a blessing that is promised to those who hear. We not only should hear the word of God evangelistically and authentically, in the third place, when you get to verse 18, we should hear God's word fruitfully, or as a people who will bear much fruit. It says, therefore, take heed how you hear. And then he gives that wonderful promise, whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Now, the best way to understand verse 18 is just to sort of come back a few verses there, and in verse 15, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he's interpreting the parable of the sower, says, the ones that fell on the good ground, the seed that fell on the good ground, having heard the word with a noble and a good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. But within the parable itself, he says that those who fell on the good ground, that is way back in verse 8, but the others fell on good ground, sprang up, yielded a crop, 100-fold. That's the third way in which we should listen to God's word. We listen in order to produce fruits. And in the context of this parable, the Lord Jesus Christ says, those who hear, having heard, they produced 10 times more the fruit that is being required of us. You see, as Christian people, this is probably one of the most important questions we can face about our profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And the question is, where is the fruit? And the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us there that if you are going to produce the fruit that is required, that fruit in here, he says, it's 100-fold. In Mark chapter 4, where he speaks about the same gospel, Mark says, some 100, some 60, some 30. So there's this 10 times, 6 times, and 3 times more of the fruit that is required. In other words, what we can see there is that once the word of God has come, we are hearing, we are listening aright, and God's word finds room in our lives, there's going to be no choice in the matter. We are supposed to produce fruit. The effect of that word will be seen in a transformed and fruitful life. The life in which there is going to be the fruit of the Spirit manifest to ourselves and manifest to those who know us. There's going to see a change that we can attest to, and others can bear witness that of the truth, God is working in the life of this brother, in the life of this sister. I can see an ever-increasing fruitfulness in their own personal life. I can see a desire to grow in the things of God and to be changed to become like Christ and to do those things that are pleasing to God. If you turn with me to Matthew and chapter 25, you will notice here the Lord Jesus Christ says almost the exact same thing. And this is the passage about the parable of the talents. If you pick it up in verse 26. But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest." Verse 28, "So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." And that is the principle that the Lord Jesus Christ is emphasizing to us. That once the word of God finds room in your heart, there's no looking back. It must produce a result. It must produce fruit. And the nature of that fruit, it's ever-increasing fruit. That's the way the Lord Jesus Christ puts it. So, I think this is a very important way in which we test our profession as Christians. It is just to say, for instance, we are now in September 2020. We have had 9 months in 2020. And as an individual, what do I have to show for my profession? Is there an ever-increasing fruit being born in my own life? In John chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ says to it is the Apostle John writing about the Lord Jesus. He says, "All his fullness," referring to Christ, "have we all received grace upon grace." That is a summary of the Christian life. It's a life in which we are receiving grace upon grace upon grace. And as we receive those new measures of grace, we become more fruitful. We grow in our knowledge of God. We love God. And the fruit of the Spirit begins to grow in an increasing measure in our lives. And that is what I mean when I say we should listen fruitfully. That God's word comes to us. It is not a curse. It's sent to us as a blessing. And you notice that the reverse is in fact what is happening in the parable of the sower. The context is that God has hidden these treasures from the rest of the people, the rest of the Jews. But he says, to you, the disciples, it has been given to receive, to understand these mysteries, these blessings. And that is what is going to happen to you. That if you are not producing fruit, in the end, the word of God will be taken away from you. That you will not enjoy that blessing. That God's judgment, God's spiritual judgment, will be upon you. And that you will increasingly become more and more mystified by the truth of God. And less producing of the fruit. And beloved friends, there is no middle ground. According to the Lord Jesus Christ, we either are producing fruit and therefore are growing, or we are in that position where we are in danger of losing even what we think we have. That was the experience of the Jews in the days of our Savior when he was on earth. And that, sadly, might be your experience if you are not hearing the word of God to your own profit, to your own benefit. And there is no middle ground. Now, finally, I would like us now to consider the last way in which we are to hear God's word, and it is to hear it obediently. To hear God's word obediently. And in order for us to look at that, we have to consider those verses from verse 19 to verse 21. It tells there, then his mother, that is the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told to him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. Now, before we proceed to a consideration of these words and of these verses, let me just say in passing that the scriptures are very clear that Mary was not a perpetual virgin. We are told right there, his mother and his brothers, that Mary did have other sons, and in fact, in Mark chapter 6, it talks about having daughters as well. That we are not just picking on the Roman Catholics, but this is an important issue we will not just ignore. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 3, he says, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? So yeah, Mary was not a perpetual virgin. Mary did have sons and daughters. They were, if you like, here in this case, the half-brothers of our Lord Jesus. And so they come, I think, because they are concerned. And at this stage in their lives, they do not believe yet that he is the Messiah. And so they feel like he is losing control, you know, he's in the crowds and talking all the time. And out of this misguided concern for his safety, they come to try and help or rescue him, or bring him back home, bring him back to his senses, talk to him and say, look, you know, stop this idea of rolling around with huge crowds following you. That was their concern. Thankfully, after the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, we read that all his family believed in him. We read in the book of Acts that James was in fact one of the pillars of the early church. But at this stage, it looks like they did not believe in him. And they come motivated by that misguided concern to try and set him right, to try and rescue him. And he is there, he is teaching the crowds, and then there's somebody who says there, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to speak to you or to see you. And then in verse 21 we are told, he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Now I'm sure there is that other passage, I forget where it is, but I'm sure you know that passage where the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching, and there was a woman who exclaimed and says, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you suck. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ in that passage, he is reported to have answered, rather, blessed are those who hear God's word and do it. Now, in these words, the Lord Jesus Christ is not sort of decrying family relations. That's not the intent here. But he is trying to teach us a very important lesson. That the most important way, the most blessed way, in fact, the only way of relating with the Lord Jesus Christ is not to relate to him physically. It is to relate to him spiritually, by faith, and how that faith is going to be authenticated or proved by your obedience to his word. That even if you were physically related to the Lord Jesus Christ and you share his genes, if you do not relate to him spiritually, it will benefit you nothing at the end of the day. The most important way is to believe in the Lord Jesus, to obey his word, to live by his word. But that's the best way to relate to him. That is the blessed way to be related to him, not physically, but spiritually. That the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for those who hear his word and obey him. Not just people who are his physical relatives, people who are related to him in a family physical sense. It's those who are indwelt by the Spirit, those who are hearing and obeying the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a parallel example we can give for this with respect to Abraham. This is a similar sort of argument that the Apostle Paul makes in the book of Romans. He says, you see, it's not, one is not a Jew who is one physically. And circumcision is not the physical thing. It is the spiritual reality that counts. You could physically descend from Abraham, but if you do not have Abraham's faith, then at the end of the day, it is not going to benefit you. In this case, Jesus Christ is more direct. What is primary, what is more important, is not tracing your physical lineage to the Lord Jesus. And then you say, ha, I am blessed. What is important is for you to hear his word and to obey him. That is truly the only way to be blessed by Christ. And you don't have to be a Jew to do that. It's a blessing that's extended to all the nations of the world. It doesn't matter what your background has been, but if you will hear the word of Christ, believe that word, and obey that word, that you are closer to Christ than if you were physically related with him. So, in our own normal parlance, we speak in terms of blood is thicker than water. In this sense, it is the spiritual relationship that is thicker than blood. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us. That what is primary, the way in which as a human being you receive a blessing from God, is if you hear the word of Christ and obey him. That's what he says in John chapter 14, isn't it? He says, only those who hear my word and keep my word are blessed. If you hear his word and you do his word, indeed you are blessed. In 1 John chapter 2, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, rather the Apostle John speaking about the life of Christ, he tells his disciples, he tells his hearers that those who have heard the word of God and are following the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we need to read that. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. If you begin in verse 5, it says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him, that is in Christ, ought himself also to walk just as he walked. That is the desire of every genuine Christian. It is to live a life of obedience to God. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. We do stumble and we fall. But the inclination, the desire in the life of a Christian, a heart that has been renewed by the Holy Spirit, is to be obedient to God. It is to be obedient to the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is the reason why I referenced in our Old Testament reading, the words of Nehemiah chapter 8. See there, there was a revival that was taking place after God's people had been rescued from their exile and they had returned to Israel. And we read there that there was a time when the people asked Ezra the priest to read God's word to them. And it was a time of great blessing. And we are told there that the people were so concerned about the word of God. In verse 18 it says, day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day, there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. But in verse 17, before that it has said, the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun until that day, the children of Israel had not done so. And there was very great gladness. But here, the people discovered as they were reading God's word, there was something that God had commanded them to do. And it had never been done since the days of Joshua. And here they were, because they were concerned to obey God, to follow his word. They were concerned, and we are told that they built those booths, and there was very great gladness. But again, before that, you will notice that in the when Ezra was preaching to them, it says, Ezra opened the book in verse 5. In the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people when he opened it, all the people stood up and they blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, amen and amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord, their faces to the ground. And in verse 8, so they read distinctly from the book of the law of God. And they gave the sense, meaning the interpretation. And they helped them to understand the reading. And it's only after they have understood what the word of God is requiring of them, that now at the end of it all, they want to do what God has said to them. And really, this is what we should be saying to ourselves at the end of every service. The question must be, Lord, what do you want me to do in the light of what I have heard? What is your instruction for me? Because surely, God does not just speak to us for the sake of it. He speaks to us because he intends for us as his people to obey his word. And the only way we can obey his word is if we understand what that word means to us, and therefore we can say, how does it apply to me? How does this word in the New Testament apply to me? Is there anything I need to do as an individual Christian? Is there something I have been doing I need to stop? And is there a warning I need to take heed? Is there a sin that this word of God has discovered in my life I need to repent from so that I can walk with the Lord more closely? So we need, brother friends, to come to the point where we say, Lord, what are you saying to me? What does God require of me? I think then that that is why, in my own experience, it's important for those who can that they are able to take notes. Because it's only as you take notes when you go home that you can think through what you have heard. And you say to yourself, Lord, what are you saying to me? What is my duty here? How am I supposed to honor God in the light of the word that has come to me? So let me summarize in this way. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us in here, we have to be very careful how we hear, because our spiritual prosperity or lack of it is bound up with hearing God's word. And this is why in the Old Testament and also quoted in the New Testament are those words of the Lord. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Those words are quoted in Hebrews several times. They are first mentioned to us in the Old Testament during the time that the people of God were marching from Egypt into the promised land. And God's word repeatedly was coming to them. And for many of them, they rejected it. They acted in unbelief. And their failure is a reminder to us. It's come to us as an example that just as those people were able to hear the greatest news of their lives, they responded in unbelief. We have even heard much greater news. The news of our Savior, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross to save us from our sins. That he has made God clear to us. There's a sense in which in the Old Testament everything was in shadows. But here we're in the era in which you and I live, there has been the fulfillment, and there has been that clear final message that the Lord Jesus Christ is the final word from God. And how have we responded to him? How have we heard that word? And how has that word affected or changed us? So then, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from you. Let us pray.